Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy Show. And we were talking about kids around the country who are losing a lot of ground to the rest of the world in math and in reading, which could pose a problem for us down the road and something we need to address quickly. To discuss this with us is an education and parenting expert, Karen Aronian, who's an educator formerly in the New York City public school system. And Karen is with us on KMOX. Appreciate your time, Karen. How are you?
Great. Great to be with you. Hi, Chris. Hi, Brad. Hi.
Hi. So how are you doing? It's good to have you with us. And all right, so let's talk about where we are as a country right now. How bad is the situation in terms of math and reading scores or aptitude for kids?
Right. I mean, we have the worst reading scores reported through the NAEP, which is our National Assessment of Educational Progress, since 1994. And unfortunately, math, worst in 10 years, since 2014, okay, plus or minus some months. So we're just falling off. And, you know, it was there before the pandemic cliff as well. And I'm sorry to also throw into the mix that science is down as well.
So, yeah, I think that it's an important point that you raise here, that this was happening before COVID. And it's very easy to blame COVID for it, that, well, all these kids had to stay home from school. So certainly they're still affected by that. But COVID happened everywhere. It happened in countries around the world. So why is it worse here than in those other countries that also experienced COVID?
Absolutely. I just want to jump back and say I gave you the worst figures up front. Those are our 12th graders, and they get tested through the NAEP every 4 years, while our 4th and our 8th graders get tested every 2 years. So what we're seeing now are actually reports from the 2022-2023. These tests are administered in March, and then they come out in September. So it's quite sobering. But, you know, again, we just got the 12th graders report this year, and that was a sad state of affairs. But to your point, why is this America's issue? Well, number one, we don't have standardized curriculum for the most part in math and science and obviously English. We tend to, you know, go with state and district approaches on that. And so, you know, in terms of the question you raise in regard to what we're seeing on our home front comparatively to what we're seeing abroad, we are actually in the PISA scores. These are the scores administered for international countries' level of their state of education. And we are 26th. So the leaders are the Asia Pacific regions and Norwegians, and they have standardized curriculum. And they also stay the course culturally. So, you know, what they start school continues at home. And it's, you know, a full court press.
Yeah, and I think the cultural factors, particularly if you're talking about Asians, you know, the Norwegians, a lot of the European countries, education is the priority in families, and it's less so here. Does the data, I'm wondering, the test scores. Are you able to cross-tabulate that with socioeconomic conditions? Are there particular subsets of the population where we're seeing this deficiency more pronounced?
Yeah, you hit it on the head. It's our most underserved struggle the most. And whatever was declining before, we saw a giant dip in what came back for socioeconomic levels, students with disabilities, and for, you know, students that have lower level of parent education in their families, so their backgrounds in education. You know, these are the societal factors that weigh in on student learning.
So this is not an issue that is specific to the United States, because artificial intelligence is going to end up affecting everybody, and it already is. And there are some concerns about how AI will affect kids' learning, or how they learn, or what they retain. Is it useful? Is it more detrimental than it is useful? How do you see artificial intelligence affecting the very thing we're talking about now?
Yeah, I mean, it's both a blessing and a curse. You know, first of all, when you look at, you know, this report, the NAEP report, it more or less is a blessing in disguise, because it alerts us that we have to pull up our socks. Now, we've known this, but there are so many factors that weigh in on why we are where we are now, having to do with curriculum, digital inculcation, which you're mentioning, pandemic, chronic absenteeism, and then the lack of intervention, attention, and monitoring. But with regard to AI, initially, right, this looked like all blue sky. We're going to get in there. We're going to use education tech. We're going to personalize learning. We're really going to be able to attack and get in and make a difference with our lowest performing students. However, students, you know, and this gives you an idea of what happened with the 12th graders. You know, they're the first ones who kind of were inculcated into AI and, you know, and of course in the pandemic as well. And they're misusing it. You know, they're using it to do their work. They're not thinking critically. They are not, you know, they're not struggling. They're not taking the time to get through a passage. They're just reading the synopsis and spitting it out. So what did schools do? They said, hey, we're going to start, you know, having you write that essay in class. Well, you know, there's the flop. So can we make headway with AI in education? Absolutely, because we can identify the learning challenges that, you know, every child has, and probably every adult. I mean, no one has had a perfect education. We all have some challenges, and obviously we all have some places where we hit it out of the park. And so with that in mind, we can let these AI systems track our students and bring them to what they need to learn and make progress. But no doubt about it, the facilitators are in the classroom, and they're us. They're the people who surround our students that have to constantly check in to see where they're at, and then we have to intervene.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm curious, and you may not know the answer to this. It seems to me, and I'm not something I follow, you know, actively, but it seems to me that there's more diffused opportunities for K through 12 students to, whether it be charter schooling, school choice programs, homeschooling, virtual learning, which is a fairly recent phenomenon. Is the number, the percentage of American students in public schools, public educational institutions, is it decreasing right now? And if so, is it a substantial decrease or just marginal?
Yes, again, we are seeing a higher percentage of students going into homeschooling. So it has been exponentially going up. And likewise to charters and for families that want to take over their students' education, they, in often cases, can apply their educational fund from their state into their students' learning. We've even seen this possibility for students getting ready for standardized test prep. They can take those dollars and put them into that prep, so that's helpful. And in terms of, you know, the factors of the change in education, well, it's constantly been in motion. It's a lot to keep up with. The benefits of what we're seeing right now, to your point, are that we're looking. We're actually getting a view, you know, behind the curtain, which started in the pandemic. And a lot of people didn't like what they saw. So they said, let me take this into my own hands. So, yes, there's been a major boon to homeschooling numbers, which used to be tiny. It used to really be around like 5% about, let's see, going back to 2019 or so. So, but since that time, it's, you know, doubling. So we're seeing that push into those alternatives really, you know, charting up. And, you know, I think that people can make a melange of education. If they're going to stay in the public schools, and, you know, there's a lot happening there right now, which is exciting. And there is, because of these numbers, because of what we're seeing, because of the flux in education, states have their hands on the handlebars. And they are really needing to, redevelop what and revisit all their practices. And this wake-up call brings them to the task, as does, you know, the money and the decision-making coming into their states. So, there are bright spots on the horizon with this. And these metrics are different at district levels. You know, for instance, in Missouri, they basically stayed the same overall. So what you had was... they statistically aligned the fourth and eighth graders with the national average on the assessments. Now, were those exceptional? No. 75% were above basic on the scale of below basic, proficient, advanced scale. So these changes take time. And so we're going to see, you know, what happens next. We're due to retest in March, and then we'll see those scores coming out in the September time frame. So in 2026 in March, we'll redo it for fourth and eighth, and then we'll get about 6 months later those reports.
Karen Aronian, education and parenting expert with us here on KMOX. We appreciate that expertise. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
That is Karen Aronian. And so I think, John, that hopefully there's a little bit of a change here over the next several months. It'd be interesting to talk to her. I hate that we have to wait a year for those numbers to come back because she said what the results from the March study coming right up in March, yeah, will be in September of next year. So would like to talk more than a year from now and see what the update is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.